meni waba ara o san je ko meni waba na gba san je ko meni waba bi mo san je ko meni waba iti iti san dara de be na gba san ke yo yo je ko meni waba ara o san je ko meni waba Nagba san, je ko meni waba. Bi mo san, je ko meni waba. Iti iti san, dada gebe. Nagba san. Konye mi fe bonobone ni. Ekele. Konye mi tono o eyo e fale Konye mi fe bonobone kekele Wage no go baji ni wale ge o ayale ye ye o de flo Wage no go ba tito wa la tuma
KBO Portland, 90.7 FM.
This is Mike Crenshaw.
And Monica Beamer.
We're your KBO station co-managers. We wanted to say thank you to all of our members for helping KBO to exceed our goals in December. We appreciate everyone's generosity and commitment to KBO, and we can't do all that we do without you.
We wanted to thank you for helping us to meet our $10,000 one-to-one match for new and increasing donations in November and December. We met our goal. And thank you to all the generous foundations and donors who created the match that encouraged new membership.
We have a lot more to do in 2016, and we can't do it without our members, our volunteers, and our whole community.
Thanks for keeping KBO strong.
KBO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the film screening of Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Warrior tells the true story of Leonard Peltier, the American Indian leader locked away for life in Leavenworth Penitentiary. Warrior takes us back to the violent confrontations at Pine Ridge and Wounded Knee in the 70s, and through Peltier's harrowing odyssey through the American justice system. Leonard's son, Chauncey Peltier, will hold a Q&A after the film. Again, that's Warrior, the life of Leonard Peltier, Saturday, February 6th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Contrary to popular belief, anthropology is not the study of throwing ants. Anthropology, in the broadest sense, is the study of humanity. When you hear about anthropology, it's usually referring to social or cultural anthropology, the study of world cultures, from the Babylonians to the hipsters. There are other subfields of anthropology too, though. Linguistic anthropology is the study of languages and how language shapes culture. That is not to be confused with anthropological linguistics, which is apparently a different field, though it strongly overlaps. Another subfield of anthropology is biological anthropology. This is the study of how humans and primates evolved from other animals, and how that evolution made us so successful in the world. Finally, there is archaeological anthropology. Archaeological anthropologists work in deserts and jungles, searching for ancient artifacts and learning about human history along the way. Basically, they're Indiana Jones. As you can see, here, anthropology is a much more intricate and diverse topic than general knowledge makes us believe. Without anthropology, we wouldn't know nearly as much about our history and evolution as we do now. For that matter, we wouldn't know nearly as much about modern culture. Anthropology is an incredibly important branch of science, which is why we have devoted a whole hour to it. Welcome to the Underground.
I'm sure you don't remember me.
And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be.
And I'd love to mix in circles, clicks, and social coteries. That's me.
Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be
is KBO Portland 90.7 FM, The Youth Collective, and this is Ellie Nakayama.
Do you know what the definition of fan culture is?
Fan culture is a group of people who all like the same group of movies or TV shows or...
It's a culture of crazy people that have a fandom.
Not really.
I'm guessing that it's like people who like stuff.
Fan culture is a group of people who like the same objects and find it entertaining. Fan culture is defined as the social and cultural infrastructures that support a person or group's interest in a book, movie, show, etc. What are your thoughts on fan culture and the role that it plays in society today?
This is a good question. What are my thoughts? I think it plays a huge role because we live in a society where we place people in the media, such as the Kardashians, for example, on these huge pedestals, right? Like we create these beasts of entertainment, and we really get sucked in. And I think as a result of that, we almost start to, I don't want to say hate, but dislike our own lives in a way because we're so busy focusing on something that really isn't real. So I think there's a danger in that. But also at the same time, I think it's kind of fun, you know, like if you can find that balance between not obsessing about a certain personality or group or, you know, whatever it might be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I personally like it. I'm in the fan culture. I love it. It's fantastic.
Sometimes it's straight up terrible. If you go to cons like I do, it's terrible, especially Attack on Titan fans. And what else? Homestuck fans.
I think it gives people a community to belong to connect with, and relate.
Are you yourself a member of any fan communities? If so, which ones?
Night Vale is one of them. Star Wars, Star Trek, a little bit of Artemis Fowl, Ruby, Rooster Teeth, what else? A bunch of webcomics. There's the one called Blaster Nation, there's the one called Zombie Roomy, there's the one called Girl Genius. No, I got a few more. Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel Comics, a little bit of DC, Marvel Universe, Marvel Movies. I'm a big Iron Man fan. Not a fanboy, though. I'm a fan. There's a difference between regular fans and fans.
I say I am. Welcome to Night Vale, for example. Or there's a couple of shows that I've gone to conventions for, such as like Supernatural or such.
Doctor Who! Sherlock, sci-fi in general, Marvel, Lord of the Rings, so yeah, D&D, Magic the Gathering, I think I've got a few covered.
All right, thank you.
I would say no, even though, like I said, like, I'm a big fan of Buffy, I really liked those programs, but I can't imagine, like, going to a convention about it. Kind of the same thing for, you know, Repo Man's the best movie ever made, but I can't imagine then, like, you know, like getting together with people to watch it, but getting to, like, to take it to the next level. I don't think so. I don't think I am. Even though I am a fan of things that have fan cultures, I don't think I'm a part of fan culture.
Yeah, I guess I am. I'm also in theater, so I do. I have like a lot of like different plays and stuff. I also music, like One Direction and stuff like that. Obviously, yeah, a lot of TV shows, stuff like that.
That was Fan Culture by Rue, and next is Depeche Mode. People are people.
We'll be right back.
And now is Mallory's piece, Mental Health.
Oftentimes in today's society, problems in the mental health of teens and children are going ignored. Whether it is that the parents or guardians are uneducated about, or are entirely oblivious to what is going on, or that they simply refuse to accept that something is wrong, teens and children with mental illnesses are not getting the treatment they need. It is up to the parents of these children to be aware and to ensure their children's mental health. Admittedly, the signs are not as obvious in some cases as in others. However, any sign should not be cast off as simply a phase their child is going through, as too often happens. Mental illnesses are not something anyone, child, teen, or adult, ever grow out of. Too many parents are dismissing their children's behaviors as defiance, behavioral problems, phases, hormones, everything but what they are, in order to avoid facing the reality that their child has a legitimate health problem. Our society has brought itself up with the notion that having a mental illness is shameful, humiliating, and inconvenience to those around us, that it is some great secret that must be buried and never dealt with. It is this toxic idea that continues to end in tragedy, time and time again. It makes people fear themselves. It makes people afraid to tell anyone what is going on. It makes getting help feel impossible. Children deserve to be seen, and heard, and believed, because when they aren't, things will only get worse. Mental illness can only be left untreated for so long, and when left ignored, end in tragic ways. Addiction, violence, suicide, homicide, even such catastrophes as mass shootings and mass homicides can result from repressed or ignored mental illness. How long will we continue to ignore the real problem? How long will parents continue to ignore their children's health? Why has our society ingrained it into our minds that a mental illness is shameful and to be ignored? Why, when a child breaks a bone, do their parents come running with miles of support but turn their backs if their child is worried that they're depressed? Tragedy after tragedy continues to happen, and we continue to let it. Parents, please know the warning signs and don't let them go ignored. Your child's mental health is equally important to their physical health.
They send my friends away to mansions cold and grey, to the far side of town where the thin men stalk the streets while the signs stay underground. Day after day they tell me I can go, they tell me I love to the far side of town, where it's pointless to be high, 'cause it's such a long way down. So I tell them that I can fly, I will scream, I will break my arm, I will do me harm. Here I stand, foot in hand, talking to my wall. I'm not quite right at all, am I? Don't set me free, I'm as heavy as can be. Just my livery of and me, and my EST makes free.
That was All the Madmen by David Bowie. The next piece up is Soli's AP Story.
Why is Dwayne not playing? Oh, I'm stupid. Okay. For my piece on anthropology, I made up a culture, and it goes like this. Hi, my name is Rose Quartz. I live in a world where money does not exist. Food replaces the role of money. When you work, you get paid in food. Different jobs do not give different amounts of food. Every job gets paid the same. When you want to buy something, you pay in food. Today is the 2-year anniversary of the big election to decide who will be president. I remember that day clearly. I still remember the cupcake party's presidential candidate's words. They were, "We should get more food," clap, clap. "Without working overtime," clap, clap. "And different jobs should pay more food," clap, clap. I also remember the words of the Muffin Party's candidate, and they were, "It is shown the way it is today has been very beneficial. Deaths concerning obesity, suicide, murder, and many other kinds have gone down," clap, clap. "I don't think we should stop there. We need to..." Bang. Then blood splattered everywhere. He had been shot. The doors busted down, and a group came in, wearing cupcake party uniforms and carrying guns. They were yelling, "More food, more food." The crowd was in shock. The cupcake party's candidate looked pleased. Right when he was about to speak, bang, he was shot too. The doors on the other side of the room burst open as the Muffin Party group came in, shouting and carrying guns. The groups were at a standstill. I witnessed this all, and I wrote this to tell you that no matter how good you think you can rule the world, no matter how much you think your ideas will work, there is always somebody who will disagree.
I'll just say. That was John Lennon, Imagine.
For my piece on anthropology, I made up a culture, and it goes like this. Hi, my name is Rose Quartz. I live in a world where money does not exist. Food replaces the role of money. When you work, you get paid in food. Different jobs do not give different amounts of food. Every job gets paid the same. When you want to buy something, you pay in food. Today is the 2-year anniversary of the big election to decide who will be president. I remember that day clearly. I still remember the Cupcake Party's presidential candidate's words. They were, "We should get more food," clap, clap, "without working overtime," clap, clap, "and different jobs should pay more food," clap, clap. I also remember the words of the Muffin Party's candidate, and they were, "It is shown the way it is today has been very beneficial. Deaths concerning obesity, suicide, murder, and many other kinds have gone down," clap, clap. "I don't think we should stop there. We need to..." Bang. Then blood splattered everywhere. He had been shot. The doors busted down, and a group came in, wearing Cupcake Party uniforms and carrying guns. They were yelling, "More food, more food." The crowd was in shock. The Cupcake Party's candidate looked pleased. Right when he was about to speak, bang. He was shot too. The doors on the other side of the room burst open as the Muffin Party group came in, shouting and carrying guns. The groups were at a standstill. I witnessed this all, and I wrote this to tell you that no matter how good you think you can rule the world, no matter how much you think your ideas will work, there is always somebody who will disagree.
That last piece was by Sully, and it was his AP story. This next piece is by Quentin, and it's on civilizations.
Hey, this is Elizabeth from the KBOO Youth Collective. Our theme this month is anthropology, which is basically the study of human cultures and stuff. Anyway, I'm here to talk about Stonehenge, and well, let's get started, shall we? Stonehenge is a prehistoric monument located in Wiltshire, England, about 2 miles west of Amesbury and 8 miles north of Salisbury. Constructed from 3000 BC to 2000 BC, Stonehenge is the remains of a ring of standing stones. It stands in the middle of the most dense complex of Neolithic and Bronze Age monuments in England, including several hundred burial mounds. It is unknown why the ancient people spent so much effort to build Stonehenge. What was its purpose? Some say that it was used as a temple made for the worshipping of ancient gods. Others say it was a sacred site used to bury high-ranking citizens. Whatever the cause, it clearly wasn't just built for decoration. The blue stones are a ring of small, bluish stones that stands inside the ring of gigantic megaliths. Inside the ring, stones used in the circle are believed to be from the Sully Mountains, are located roughly 240 miles away at the southwestern tip of Wales. The blue stones weigh up to 4 tons each, and about 80 stones were used in all. Given the distance they had to travel, this would have presented a big transportation problem. The blue stones were also believed to have magical properties. There was even a poem made about them. This is how it goes. "The stones are great, and magic power they have. Men that are sick fare to the stone, and they wash that stone, and with that water bathe away their sickness." It took over 400 years to build Stonehenge. I bet that if the people who built it were to look down on it today, they would be proud that it is still standing. And that is all I have to say about Stonehenge. Thank you for listening. Once again, this is Elizabeth from the KBOO Youth Collective, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Sorry, that last piece was actually by Elizabeth on Stonehenge. This next piece is All People.
Staring down the road like a stranger, another lonely day.
Even though my soul's tired, I'm gonna try and find a way.
And I don't know, sometimes I'm out of words to say, but all I know is when you hold me, I see a brighter day. I just
like it's automatic. We rock the Middle East because we rock nomadic attic. Like giants, we rock San Francisco. We rock Iceland because we're super cool, you know. We hit New York and then to Alabama, Bama. Out to Chicago and then to Coachella, Ella. Down in Rio is where I wanna see you with the drink in your hand with the tiny pink umbrella, Ella.
Next up is a piece by Quentin on civilizations.
What's your favorite ancient civilization?
I would have to say the Greeks, because they gave us the Olympics.
Mesoamerican era. They are fascinating because they got so large, spanning from all the way to the south of Chile to Ecuador, Peru area, in just around 100 years. And they accomplished so much, conquering so much territory and developing such a quick and efficient way of communication without having any form of writing. You know, they only kept information on knots, on ropes, and they developed amazing, amazing technologies, including their bridges and their ability to store food by freezing it at high altitude and drying it out to be able to support civilization during times of famine. And I'm also, you know, just really impressed with their ability to create high structures and altitudes, you know, ranging the 10 to 14,000 feet, like Machu Picchu. It might be higher than that. I can't remember the altitude, but it's just incredible development for such a limited amount of time in history.
The Romans, because there was a Roman god, Anubis, who had certain jobs of different abilities, and he got worshipped for doing good stuff.
The Greeks, because they had better strategies than pretty much than everybody else, but better than the Romans.
I am a big fan of the Sumerians. The Sumerians are based in what we currently think of as southern Iraq, and they basically invented agriculture, and they also did a lot of astronomy that people couldn't prove until relatively modern times, but they knew, like, all these comets and planets and things were out there, and no one has any idea how they knew, but we've been able, with our scientific tools, to learn that they were right.
What is your favorite ancient civilization?
I'd have to say the Aztecs. I dig their art.
Off the top of my head, I think it would be the Iceni of what is now England. They were some of the indigenous Breton people living around 2,000 years ago or so. They had a lot of interesting ideas about collective living and governance, what little we know about them. And for a couple of years, they were successful in repelling the Roman invasion that eventually did claim England for the Romans.
My favorite ancient civilization is the Minoans by the island of Crete, kind of by Greece.
I like the Greeks because they had the Pythagoreans, which were really crazy because they worshipped math. And they had also other good gods, and they had lots of philosophers and marble everywhere.
The most interesting civilization that I know of is in the present country of Jordan, and that civilization was located in a city called Petra, and the people who were living in that part of the world at that time, which is many centuries before the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were called Nabataeans.
Next up, we have a song by Alexander Rybak called Leave Me Alone.
You said you got my number from one of the dancers. You waited right outside, you had something on mind. But then I saw your eyes, your crazy eyes. Now you got me into something very sick and twisted. An evil kind of game I didn't know existed. You travel overseas to terrorize me. And I don't understand, why can't you let me be?
Next up, we have a piece by Ellie called Vox Pop.
Hello, this is Ellie Nakayama with KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, and today I am doing a Vox Pop. Today I'm with Kevin. So the question is, what is anthropology?
Well, it's my understanding that anthropology is the study of cultures. I'm not exactly sure that that's the case, but I do believe it is.
Anthropology is the study of cultures and how they developed and why they did certain things in their culture.
Anthropology is a class I took in college, and I got an A, and my girlfriend got a C because she didn't believe in evolution. And we were studying about early cultures and evolution, and she got a C and I got an A, and she was really mad because she was a creationism person.
What is a creationism person?
They don't believe in evolution. They only believe that God created man, and man did not come from other life forms.
Okay, thank you.
So what it comes to my mind is the Museum of Anthropology and History in Mexico City. So, yeah, bring me back to Mexico.
Okay, thanks. What comes to your mind when I say anthropology?
Wow, a lot comes to my mind when you say anthropology, because I'm a student of anthropology. And I really enjoyed anthropology at one point, and then I became very disillusioned with who does anthropology. And it became for me a little problematic to see that there were a lot of people who were not part of certain groups who then would use anthropology as a science to study people. And then I feel it kind of helps create some kind of hierarchy around people, you know? And so then I decided to look at anthropology more through a community-based and participatory way, so that instead of studying people or subjects, we actually study with people and support people in, also finding out what they want to know about themselves, you know? Or use some kind of, create some kind of a project that then the people that you are supposed to study, quote unquote, are able to then benefit from. So that's what I have to say about anthropology.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is land. I thought anthropology was digging up the land, but I've been told that I was wrong.
So. That's archaeology, right?
That's archaeology. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Anthropology to me is studying cultures, and actually the first thing I think about with anthropology is Planned Parenthood, because of Margaret Mead, and there's another anthropologist that had a big effect on it, but that's what I think when I think of the word anthropology.
Okay, thanks.
I actually don't really know if I understand the definition of anthropology, only because I confuse it with sociology, and anthropology tends to, in my opinion, a lot of times be the study of cultures that are non-white, and so they take a very white supremacist look at cultures in the world that can be more oppressive rather than seeing them for complicated and wonderful cultures that they are.
Thanks.
Gosh, I really don't know what that means to me. Like, I know people are really interested and I think it's an interesting field, but I haven't given it much thought personally how I deal with anthropology. I know when my dad was in high school, he was considering doing that for a living, but then he changed as he got older. But I know it's interesting, though. Thank you.
So what does anthropology mean to you? This has been Ellie Nakayama with KBO Portland's Youth Collective.
Here's a live discussion about fan culture, which we talked about earlier, led by Ryan.
Is that how it works?
Hello, my name is Ryan, and there are other lovely people here, too.
Hi, I'm Quentin.
Hi, I'm Ellie.
Hi, I'm Tristan.
Hi, I'm Liam.
And we're here to talk about fan culture. Yay!
This was already a piece, but we can dive more into that.
Yes, deepen the discussion through live talking, as opposed to asking questions.
Yeah.
So, is anyone in this room, like, in a fandom, or... I feel like everyone has, like, a fandom, but, like...
What's a fandom?
What is a fandom? A fandom is, you really like something, and it's more of, like, it's not, like, a casual, like, thing. It's, like, I really like that TV show or movie or like
thing. Is a fandom different from being a fan of something?
Well, like being a fan, that's like a casual fan. Like a casual fan is like, it's hard to explain. A casual fan is more just like, that's chill. Like I could watch that anytime. But
so
like,
it's, I like Star Wars versus I am wearing a Stormtrooper costume right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is anyone in any fandoms or is anyone a fan of anything? I am a fan of Dan and Phil and anime and lots of things.
So could you, like, instead of just being a fan of something, could you just be, like, in a fandom of an entire genre or category of something?
Yeah.
Like, being in the punk rock fandom? Or, like, the music fandom? Is that what you're asking?
Well, it's not really, you can't be, like, in the music fandom, because, like, everyone likes, well, it's, you are, but, like,
so it's too big of a thing.
Does it have to be more specific or just very general?
It's, like, more specific. I can't say that word. It's more
specific.
Can't say that word. But it's like, yeah.
Okay. So a fandom is more specific than a genre.
Mm-hmm.
But it is less specific than one episode of a TV show, for instance.
So I could be like, I'm a fan of creepypasta. Because that's, like, a thing.
You mean, like, spaghetti that tries to eat you?
No, like, creepypasta is, like, this thing. It's this website, and it has all these creepy stories, and there's, like...
Or a more common people might know of is SpongeBob.
Ah, yes.
Where you could be a very intense fan.
I am a very big fan of SpongeBob.
Are we talking about this?
Oh.
Yes. Okay. I hate hearing my own voice. I'm a big fan of... music.
Well,
any specific genre?
Yeah, because we just talked about that.
Punk rock.
Cool. You want to go something?
I would not consider myself in a fandom. I like two very specific things.
Just two. Everything just two, you like is boiled down to two things.
But I'm too specific with what I like. I might like few different types of shows in one genre for me to be considered a whole fandom.
Well,
of that.
Oh, cool. My fandom, like, I like music. I like alternative music, and I really like anime. Like, that's like a big, like, general thing, but like, I like Ouran High School Host Club and Sword Art Online and Sword Art Online 2 and Death Note. And
so there can be sub-fandoms.
Yeah.
Inside of a greater fandom.
Yeah, like you could be like, I really like kids' TV shows, but my favorites are these.
And does being part of a fandom give any bigger benefits than just being a big fan?
You can, it's like you can make really good friends. Like I made my really good friend at school from like a fandom.
So would you say you're a fan of fandoms?
Wow. Yeah, maybe. It's like cool to be in a fandom because then you have like this community of people that you can like talk to about like stuff you like. It's kind of like, it's not really extreme version of like, it's just kind of like you really, really like something and then you get to talk to people about it on Tumblr and the internet.
The internet is a great medium for fandoms.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at your Blazers Rip City shirt, could you be a fandom of like a sports team or some, like, rather than, you know, a band or a genre of show?
I guess that you could if you were a very big fan, bought season tickets every single year.
Isn't that the original fandom, sports?
Well, no.
Most intense things books. You would get into.
Books.
I think people competed before they read a lot. And reading wasn't something that a lot of people knew how to do. So very competitive things would become very popular very easily.
So, like, division can create unity.
Yeah.
Okay, you meant, like, division, like the math, like...
Oh, yes, this is, division, as in dividing by two. Anyway, that's about the end of this great, very informative and spectacular discussion run by...
Leigh Maldonado.
Tristan Grill.
Ellie Nakayama.
Quentin Clyde.
Ryan last name. That's all.
Thank you and good night.
Next up, we have the tokens, The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the quiet village, the lion sleeps tonight.
Thanks for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBOO Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBOO at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate, Aaron Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 221, or email youth@kboo.org. We also do a music show, the youth edition of 1212, which airs the second Friday of each month from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We're always looking for music by anyone under 21 of any style. And check out our website, kboo.fm/theunderground or kboo.fm/youth. Next up is Hard Knock Radio with Davey D. Thanks for listening.
On Monday, February 15th, at 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline will air a Valentine's Day special to bring to light the fact that, because of incarceration, many people are separated from their friends, family, and lovers on Valentine's Day. We will be reading your short messages to your friends and loved ones on air. So whether you are behind bars and reaching out, or are out and reaching in, we welcome you to mail or email us your Valentine's messages. Our email address is kboopc@gmail.com and our address is 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Address your messages to Prison Pipeline Collective. Then tune in on February 15th at 6:30 p.m. to hear your messages read on air.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Youth Summit, taking place February 12th
and February 13th at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club in Portland. February 12th will feature a workshop called Healing Ourselves to Raise Our Future and a performance by spoken word artist S. Renee Mitchell. February 13th will feature workshops on topics ranging from becoming an MC to healthy living to information on going to Africa. That evening, the summit will close with a youth talent showcase.